Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This weekend, we're going to have golf weather. Of course, golfing could be a little bit trickier than what you're used to from the standpoint of if you take a look at, the fact that courses in Pennsylvania are closed. That's why our next guest is the guru of golf. That would be Mike Dedurich, who does our golf show. You can hear it every morning, every Saturday morning, right here on 93.7 The Fan. I believe it's at 8, but we'll get the exact time from Mike. Mike, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
You know what? I'm surviving, and that's all that we can ask for, right?
That's exactly it.
So your world of golf, I mean, obviously, like every other world, has been touched by this thing, and people cannot play golf in Pennsylvania, but I'm sure you probably know a few courses that aren't that far away in Ohio and West Virginia that might be alternate places where people that are really looking to get a couple of rounds in this weekend might go. Are there any like decent municipal type golf courses that you know about that you like to play that aren't that far of a drive from here?
There are three or four just over the border into Ohio, and the one that sticks to my mind is a place called Firestone Farms. Now, there are three, like I said, three or four other ones like along that same kind of trail, not very far from Pittsburgh at all. But, you know, I think they're back now in Ohio that they can play. People can play in New York. They can play in West Virginia. And they can even play in Virginia. So we're kind of surrounded by places where people can go play golf if they want to get in the car on a Saturday morning and go.
No, absolutely. And I think that that's the biggest thing. I know that there's another place that I play out there called Kensington. And I'm sure there's some places in West Virginia that aren't that far down either. So, it's just a matter of going out and golfing. And I think one of the things, Mike, that is puzzling, and we had the guy from Western PA Golf Association on the other, a few days ago, but I think one of the things that's puzzling to everybody is, why can't you golf here? I think it's an activity that you can make safe, and we've talked about a lot of different ways that courses are talking about trying to make it safe. You can make it safe, but why can't you golf here?
Boy, that's the XXX number of dollar question. I just don't understand it. And, of course, we've gotten no real good explanation from Harrisburg. And I know there have been several cases made to the governor and the governor's office, and they just get flatly rejected. What they're not thinking about, and we're getting into a little bit of off golf, but it's part of the reality. You know, a lot of these places are not country clubs. They are little municipal courses that, you know, are very much dependent on their league play and their daily fee play, and these guys are losing money now by the bucket load, because a day like yesterday and today, tomorrow, their places would be full, and they're never going to get that money back, and that's very concerning to the people who own the courses But it's concerning to the golfers, too, because a lot of these people, not just guys, but ladies, too, have played at these places, you know, for years. It's part of their life. But, you know, in recent years, the golf economy has not been great. And as a result of that, now that we have this hit, I'm afraid for the future of some of these smaller places that have been kind of hanging on by a thread. So, I mean, it's a serious deal. And everybody said, well, you know, it's only golf. You know, it's no big deal. Yeah, if you look at it from the individual person, yes. But if you're looking at these people who work hard to put together a golf course that people can go play, then it's much more than just a little deal.
Yeah, I was saying that was my point the other day when I was talking about it. I just said, you know, if we have the ability to save a business, any business, or at least keep businesses on life support until we get back to normal life, we should be looking for the opportunities to do that if we can do it safely. And Mike, I got to be honest with you. I have heard not one good reason why, other than, and it's not a good reason, but the only thing I can come up with that people continue to say is that, well, you know, the more people we have out and about, the more likely that we are to have people run into each other, which, I mean, that's not a reason to me. And I've heard courses, you know, we had Craig Mankins on, who I know you know from Hannistown.
Oh, yeah.
He was talking about how they could take all the flag sticks out, take all the rakes off the course, one person per cart, you know, and put a little like a little bubble type thing over top of the hole, so people aren't even reaching into the hole and touching, you know, the surface is down there. So basically, you putt the ball, you know, and you just kind of hit the. It's like a cover over the hole, but then you pick up your own ball. You're not ever touching any other surface that other people's are touching. If you have twosomes, I don't understand why this can't work.
I don't either. And golf courses are built on, you know, 150, 200, 300, 400 acres. So there's lots of room out there. And if guys are walking, they don't have to be anywhere near each other. And even if they get their ball on the green very close to each other, well, it's very simple. One guy stays off the green, so the other guy's putt, and then he goes up and putts in. I'd love to hear a good reason. I really would, because I haven't heard one yet.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Now, Mike, I think the other part of it is, for those of us like you that follow the sport and like to watch the events, you know, I guess, you know, there was a report yesterday that they have postponed the British Open now, but then the PGA Tour came out basically and said, that's not necessarily the case yet. I think that's where we're headed, right? I mean, I think we're to the point where I don't know that we'll see a live golf event until maybe July.
Right now, they're looking at the end of May. That's when they're planning to be back. I don't see that happening. The schedule, this is going to be one that we'll remember for a long time, because the Masters wasn't played. Well, this coming week would have been Masters week, and it's not going to be played. The word is it's going to be played in November in Augusta, and that shouldn't be any trouble weather-wise. It's still warm enough then. The PGA got postponed out in San Francisco. They're looking to come to that open week in the schedule that was going to be the Olympics, when the Olympics got postponed till next year. The British Open is, you know, iffy at this point. They haven't committed one way or the other, but they're going to soon. And then the other one is the U.S. Open. And, you know, it's early in June. Even the USGA is saying that's looking more and more every day like that's not going to happen. And, you know, if there was a no-brainer in all of this, that was it. Wingfoot Golf Club is in Mamaroneck, New York. That's about 5 minutes from, or 5 miles from New Rochelle, which is the epicenter of all of what's going on in New York now. So they're not, even in June, they're not going to want to be bringing 40,000 people into that place every day with, you know, with all that's going on there. So there's a chance that the Open may get played later in the year, September maybe, out on the West Coast somewhere. So this is going to be the wackiest schedule any of us have ever seen and probably ever will see. If it's even able to be pulled off the way they want it to now.
Well, and I think the thing, Mike, you know, there was some talk. What was this talk about the somehow Oakmont coming into play? What was that all about?
Well, this is a fact, and if you could ever get the USGA to say something, you know, truthful to you, whenever a championship is in trouble, Oakmont is either at the top of the list or second on the list as a fallback place, because they keep it in such condition that they could play an Open there and, you know, giving them 2 weeks or 3 weeks. The only thing they'd have to do would be slow the greens down, because the pros wouldn't play on greens that fast. So right away, when Wingfoot seemed to be in trouble, that's when the Oakmont rumor started. It was my understanding from people that I talked to that, yeah, Oakmont's always a backup, and they're the fallback position, but nobody had talked to them about that this year. So that was all just kind of following a fact, but making something else out of that fact that wasn't really there.
That would be kind of interesting, wouldn't it, to try and throw together Oakmont, try to throw together a U.S. Open in, you know, 2 or 3 months? That would have been kind of fun.
Well, it would have been even less than that. And it was a given. If that would have happened, you would have not seen the infrastructure that you normally see for a U.S. Open. They would never have time to get up all those bleachers and the hospitality tents. It would be a pretty Spartan looking U.S. Open, but I would imagine they'd have fans, so you at least have that going for you. But somebody else is going to have to deal with that, it looks like now.
Mike, just a couple more minutes with you, Mike. The Augusta in November, the course will play a little differently than it does in April, correct?
Well, and of course we can't say for sure, because this has never happened before, but it's going to be in November. It will be in the second month after being off all summer. They shut down in May, and then they don't open up again until the beginning of October. That's in the summers when they do all their work, you know, whatever changes they're going to make. They do that then, and all the overseeding and all that stuff. So the surfaces will be similar. And they'll be in pretty good condition, because I'm sure they'll limit play if that's what they're going to do. So I don't know. I honestly, I can't say that it will be much different than it was in April.
Yeah, that's going to be, you know, the other thing I was thinking about when I heard that is, say, for instance, you have a Sunday with Tiger and, say, Rory and a couple of the other guys all in contention up against the NFL. That would be a really interesting dynamic to see what the ratings would be for that.
And think about this. Who has the Masters TV rights? CBS.
CBS, right? Yeah.
And they're one of the big NFL networks. So I don't know how that would work. You know, there's talk that if it happens that way, they may make it a Wednesday through Saturday event. That way they won't go up against the NFL on Sunday for their final round. And that makes sense.
Well, I would think that would, again, it's all going to be so crazy. Mike, I appreciate you taking some time, obviously, always breaking it down. And your show is at 8 a.m. tomorrow, right?
I wish. It's at 7 to 8.
7 to 8. You got any guests on that we should...
I do. I have Tom Pashley, who is the president of Pinehurst Resort. They just had a massive, really unusual fundraising there this past couple weeks, and they raised about $200,000 for the employees at Pinehurst that they had to lay off or furlough or whatever. So I think it's just a remarkable thing, and he's going to come on, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Mike, I appreciate it, man. Have a good night.
All right, Paul. Talk to you soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.